You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
Ah, yes, it is the weekend, which means it's time for another Make the Call here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Cuska, sports director here at Civic Media, and we have an absolutely loaded show for you today. Coming up in about 15 minutes from now, we'll talk to Ken Kazuba, who is the proprietor of Kaz's Sports Corner. We're going to talk Brewers with him after getting a split with the series of the Cubs this week and holding a pretty sizable lead going into the final few weeks here of the regular season. Later in the program, we're going to hear from Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer previewing Wisconsin versus Notre Dame at Lambeau Field. That comes your way Sunday. We'll also talk some Badgers volleyball as well. And Mike Clemens will have a sports week in review to cap the show as he does every week. And we'll have that coming up near the end of the hour. But to get things started, it is me. I'm Jimmy. Hi, how are you? Hi, Mom, if you're listening up in Chippewa Falls. I am by myself today. In this studio, and I felt very lonely because I had Gray tell me, upper management say, oh, I'm not available this week, guys. I'm so sorry. But then I remembered I have Parker Vertical Olsen to keep me in line today. What's up, Parker?
Hi. Hi, guys. It's me. It's Parker. How's it going? Great day.
Well, I'm not alone. I am not alone. I have Parker today. So Parker and I will take you through today's program. And Parker, I would be remiss if we didn't start by talking about the Packers because the roster cutdowns have happened. The 53-man is set. And I think the biggest news isn't necessarily who made or didn't make the roster, although seeing J. Michael Sturdivant make the roster made me very happy because he's a special teams guy, an effort guy, and you love having that on the roster. But the big news, obviously, is that Josh Jacobs isn't available to the Packers to start the year. Yeah. And so we've been asking this kind of in the preseason a bit. What are they going to do at running back? And Parker, I feel like this is a big question for the Packers, given how they run their offense under Coach LaFleur.
Yeah, running back is going to be really interesting to see. You've got Chris Brooks, you've got Caleb Johnson, newly signed, and Marshawn Lloyd, right? These are guys that the Packers have seen some flashes out of. Marshawn Lloyd will probably be the starter there. And honestly, I loved what I saw out of him in preseason. I was excited about him. Unfortunately, though, I do need to be worried about him because of the fact that he's been so injury prone over his career, right? He hasn't really been able to stick it out as a backup for a full season. So I like who we've got, I think, but I've definitely have got my worries. Again, though, you've got a couple of guys there that I think are all pretty solid, Jimmy, and who knows how long the Josh Jacobs will go on.
I mean, this could be 4 weeks. It could be the whole season, year, right?
Yeah, and it's really hard to get a read on.
And honestly, I mean, good on the NFL for dealing with it in this manner because it's very serious allegations, you know? Like, that's how they should address it. Not great in terms competitively, but I mean, there are bigger things in life than sports sometimes. I know this is a sports show, but, you know, I think we're all on the side of, like, you know, the allegations, you know, if there's a video somewhere that shows all this, I mean, things are not looking great there.
Yeah.
We're not judge and jury. We're not any part of that. But the reality is Packers will be without Josh Jacobs to start. The running backs that are coming in to kind of take the place, it's not going to be one guy. It's going to be kind of an aggregate where it's like Moneyball, right? They're not replacing, you know, Giambi. They're replacing the production with three different guys who kind of add up to all that. And that's kind of what I see here. I don't see a 20 carry a game guy in that group. But you know, on the other side of that, I think an area that the Packers, and I know Gray isn't here to sit here and give me all the stats on it. I think an area that the Packers very sneakily could be better this year is special teams. New kicker. You got some guys on the fringe of the roster on special teams. You got a great punter. Boy, there was a long snapper battle I was really excited about. I'm saying all this, Parker, as a special teams coach. I'm very excited for Packers special teams this year.
You are. You're very excited. You're giddy like a schoolboy, Jimmy. It's a fun sight to see. I think we christened Cam Acord as the coach of the century pretty much after one preseason game. Which might be one of the saddest sentences ever, but honestly, the Packers haven't been excited about special teams in a long time. Once Mason Crosby left, it was like, well, crap. What do we
got? But hey, we're accepting competency as like progress. So let's just take it.
I was thrilled in a preseason game when the Packers went more than like two kickoffs in a row without having a penalty. I was shocked. I was besides myself. It was absolutely glorious, Jimmy.
All right. Well, you know, I'm very excited. We're getting the season going. There's a lot of things to look at. We're going to break down all the Packers stuff, by the way, next week when Gray is back with us. We will go through that week one matchup, and we will actually be on this as part of the show, kind of an extension of the show. We'll be recapping each Packers game as well on the Mondays or Tuesday or Thursday or whatever day. The Packers play on like five different days of the week this year.
It's bad.
So whenever it happens, we'll recap the Packers games as part of Make the Call in the Civic Media Radio Network with some special one-off episodes. Before we take a break for our first guest, have to mention this. Lambeau Field not only hosts to the Badgers this weekend, not obviously only hosts to the Packers throughout the season as always, but they're also going to host, and we just talked about this last week, Parker, the greatest kind of novelty sporting event. They're going to host two outdoor hockey games in February. This is amazing.
I'm so excited for the doubleheader here. They're going to have the women, Badger women's playing against the Ohio State team as well. That matchup is absolutely incredible. Those two programs account for the last seven national titles in women's hockey. So really excited about that. And then Badger men, they're going to be playing against Michigan. Honestly, I don't think I could pick any better competition at all. This is going to be absolutely awesome. And I don't know about you, but I'm a little worried that they might have to reschedule because there might be a Super Bowl parade, but we'll talk about that later.
Well, I'm excited because we've got outdoor hockey in Wisconsin again, and I couldn't be more thrilled for it. But we got a lot to talk about on the show today. We're going to talk Brewers in the next segment. Ken Kazuba is going to join us. Kaz's Sports Corner is what he does. Also appears on a lot of radio shows. We'll talk Brewers. Later on the program, Jake Kokorowski will preview the Wisconsin-Notre Dame football game this weekend and give us a read on Badger volleyball. Mike Clemens, Sports Week in Review, coming up by the end of the hour. Jimmy Cuska, Parker Olson. It is Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Talking a bit of Brewers now here on Make the Call as we move along here on the weekend. Milwaukee, of course, after splitting the series with the Cubs, finding themselves in a pretty good spot heading now into the home stretch here in September. And you know, we haven't done this a lot, Parker. We haven't had a chance to really talk Brewers in depth with a guest. We have talked minor leagues in depth. We have definitely talked amongst ourselves quite a bit, and you know, and we're smart, right? We
we're geniuses.
Brewers do good, great. Yeah. We're very insightful. The Brewers are best record in the MLB. We're still smart.
Yeah,
you know, gold stars for us. But it's great to welcome aboard from Kaz's Sports Corner in southeastern Wisconsin, Ken Kazuba, who is joining us right now over the phone, which is great that we can do this over the phone because I didn't know this was even a thing we could do. Ken, welcome aboard to Make the Call.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to the chatting a little Brewers with you guys. This is outstanding, so I appreciate the invite.
Well, I'm going to start with this. We are here in the final month of the season, and I just from your perspective, you know, a lot of the things I'm seeing on social media are people asking, well, how could the Brewers have the best record in Major League Baseball? How did they get here? And I look at obviously the obvious things, the pitching staff, the limiting of runs, just having a great bullpen, things like that, the obvious answers. But I think there's something to it when outsiders are kind of looking at this wondering, you know, you got the big spending teams like the Dodgers and everybody, the Cubs and all these other teams. And then here are the Brewers with a relatively tiny payroll compared to that. They've got the best record in the MLB. How did this happen, Ken?
Well, in my opinion, it starts and ends with management, right? So when you have somebody like the GM, Matt Arnold, and you have the head coach, Murph, and those two are in lockstep with the owner, it makes life a lot easier when you don't have a lot of infighting, okay? So once you have the captain of your ship and he's able to relay his needs and wants, and then you have your GM and your owner that collaborate, and they go, we'll get those guys for you. And they trust in Murph. Murph's been with them when he was with Council. So with that being said, that clubhouse is incredible. The demeanor in that clubhouse amongst these players, they have a bond that's second to none. And when you had mentioned about teams, you know, spending a lot of money, you know, we've seen this, though, with many teams throughout the years. I mean, look at what happened with the Mets a few years ago. I mean, look at the Padres. They've spent so much money, and they've gotten nowhere, for lack of a better term. So the Brewers, with their farm club system, going back to Matt Arnold and his team, they do a fabulous job. I truly believe, and I believe ranking-wise, they have the best farm club in the MLB. You look at the players that keep coming up. Look at the signings with Cooper Pratt. You know, they signed him to a long-term deal. Churio, Luis Lara. And they've got many, many more people that we haven't even seen yet in the big leagues, like Andrew Fisher and Pena. And there's so many that Mate, they're waiting to come up. But it all starts, in my opinion, right there. Because once you have unity, you can overcome everything they have, such as all the injuries. They've had so many injuries this year, but yet they're able to bring guys in, bring guys up, and they're able to overcome that, especially with pitching. They have one of the best pitching staffs, thanks to Chris Hook and Murph, the way that they operate. So just a few of the insights I truly believe that make this team special.
Ken, that pitching lab, I think, is something that we hear so much about, because obviously there's some fantastic coaches that have been in this Brewers organization for a really long time. But that pitching lab has been so good. And no matter where you look, you can kind of find, like, I call them the keys to success with the veterans that are around there, right? Murph has been around so long. The guys in the front office have been so good for so long. Somebody that I have been pointing to, I think, honestly, I was a little critical at one point because he wasn't producing a lot, Christian Yelich. But earlier this week, we were hearing about how good he's been in the clubhouse. How key do you think Yelich is to the Brewers' success as we get into these last couple of weeks of games here?
Yelich is going to be huge because he has been horrible in the playoffs, right? So when we talk about good clubhouse guys, you can also bring in Brandon Woodruff, okay? So he's another guy that they just love in that clubhouse, although injuries have kept him away. And now they're talking about potentially having him back late in the season here, which I would be shocked. But you know what? I don't put anything past the way the Brewers operate. You know, with Chris Hook and Chad Green, how they handle that pitching staff. When you talked about the pitching lab, and I'll get back to Yelich real quick. When I was in Arizona for spring training last year and seeing how they operate, it is amazing. If you've never been there, you've got to get down there to see it, because each pitcher, the way that they handle them with every pitch and the way that they videotape and photo and talk, it's just how they go through the motions with each guy. It's pretty incredible. But back to Yelich. Yelich is going to be key, in my opinion, just for the simple fact that he's the highest paid guy on the team. And all he has to do now is hit. He doesn't play defense anymore. He just has to focus on hitting. So they're going to need him in that middle of that lineup. I think that's where he really shines. Five spot, six spot. And that's what's going to be the key. Yelich getting the bat on the ball and getting those guys in with runners in scoring position, it's going to be a giant boost for this team come playoff time.
Talking to Ken Kazuba of Kaza Sports Corner, that's in southeastern Wisconsin. Ken, I got to ask this because we've talked about this all year. I feel like things are a little different this year, and the Brewers have had sort of disappointing finishes in the postseason as of late, but I feel like things are a little bit different this year, and it's largely because they've got top-end pitching, and not just, you know, not guys that they've had to go out and mortgage the farm for to get, but like guys they've developed and brought up, and all of a sudden it seems like they've got a few elite arms that'll help carry them through a series. Do you sense anything different maybe about what could happen in this year in terms of a playoff run, just given the wealth of pitching they've got?
From the standpoint of how well they manage a game, right? So Contreras, when you talk about pitching, Contreras, the way he manages the individual pitcher that night that's starting, that's really a key to what they're doing. And so handling Harrison and Henderson, and you get Drone and several of the other guys that are in there, when, you know, besides Miz, obviously everybody likes to talk about Miz, and why wouldn't you? I mean, he's incredible for what this young man has done in his second year. But a lot of that I can attribute, I truly believe, their successes with pitching that goes to Contreras and Chris Hook as they work a game plan against each team that they play. So they really, like I say, they really have their fingers on the pulse. They know their guys. And they know, if you've ever noticed when you're watching a game and you'll see all of a sudden Contreras will go out there if he doesn't like something, or Chris Hook will just stop the game and he'll go out there, and they calm their guys down. They tell them, hey, take it easy. You know, you're okay. Everything's fine. I mean, look at what happened with Harrison the other night, right? Murph goes out there after what, 3 2/3. And he tells them, he goes, hey, this isn't on you. You know, we've had some issues, you know, defensive wise tonight, but you know what? We got a fabulous bullpen. Just hang in there. You're not going to get the win. You're not going to get a decision, but you're key to what we're doing down the stretch here. And you pitched fantastically all year. It's giving your guys that kind of confidence that I don't think many of the other teams have, and that's going to be huge in the playoffs.
You know, you're talking about getting guys confidence there, and something that I think has built a lot of confidence for the Brewers this year is, for the most part, and we're coming right off of a four-game series against the Cubs, the Brewers have done a really good job keeping those superstars down, right? There haven't, like, Shohei Ohtani, I'm sure that he had a couple of pretty big hits against the Brewers this year, but honestly, I don't feel like he made that big of a mark. And I'm really looking at PCA right now because, unfortunately, we've got coworkers here who are Cubs fans, and they keep telling me how good PCA is and he's going to be the MVP. And I'm sure that he is, but I think against the Brewers, he's like 3 of 37 or something like that this year, and one of them was against Andrew Vaughn. So,
yeah,
talk about how big that confidence is to have success against those superstars, because obviously we're talking postseason. Brewers are going to the postseason. Those are the keys.
No two ways about it. Yeah, yeah, they're right now poised to be number one, the number one seed. You know, they have the best record in baseball, and they have it for a reason. And it's how they pitch these guys, right? They work the corners. They force them. Once you get ahead in the count, and that's one thing that our pitching staff is able to do with a lot of consistency, is get ahead in pitch counts. When you're ahead in pitch counts, you control the batter. Once you control that batter, I don't care if it's PCA, I don't care if it's Ohtani, if it's Schwarber, whoever it is, you get ahead in that account, and Contreras is in control and of helping his guy throw the right pitch. They know what to throw. They know what they're going to get him to go fishing for. And you see it, because PCA looked silly in the first few games until last night's game, when, you know, he came up with a big hit. And so with that being the case, you have to commend Chris Hook and the guys for how they work with their starters and their bullpen. You know, this bullpen doesn't get enough credit for what they do. And then Murph, what he was doing earlier in the season, where he was basically a closer by platoon, using Uribe and McGill and flip-flopping them back and forth before he finally decided on McGill. I mean, look, early on when he was so mad about his closer, when he goes, we don't have a legitimate closer yet, and here you got two of them sitting there. But this is the way Murph operates, how he keeps that clubhouse in check and his guys. I mean, from discipline, he does a number of disciplinary things. We've seen that. But this pitching staff doesn't need a ton of discipline. They have things going in a manner that I think has many teams baffled, especially for a small market team. This is just a credit to management.
Ken Kazuba of Kaza Sports Corner. Ken, you have a couple of other things that you do kind of off to the side of all the coverage of sports you do too. You've got some sports ventures there in southeastern Wisconsin. Can you tell us about those?
I'm an avid outdoorsman. I don't know who isn't. So I love my bow hunting in the fall and things like that. So I'm in lockstep with a number of groups that I work with. I like working with kids groups too. We like to get kids involved in hunting. And for a while there, I had a hunt club. So we would have kids out for pheasant hunts and things like that. So we had a lot of fun with that. From a standpoint of sports, I played softball for so many years that I loved it. And I've got a number of friends that are in the Hall of Fame. I got a quick story, if I can tell it, just about, did you ever see the ESPN when they had those 30 for 30 episodes?
For sure.
Okay, one of them was called The Lost Episode. This one was in regards to the very first episode that they couldn't find. It was in 1979, but do you know what the very first episode was? Softball, men's professional softball. It was the Kentucky Bourbons versus the Milwaukee Schlitz. That was in 1979 in Lannan, Wisconsin. The owner of Milwaukee Schlitz, guys, asked for a copy of the 7-game series. They sent him the original. They didn't know it for over 40 years before they finally went back to ask him, hey, that tape we sent you, could we see it? And that's what the whole episode was about. But it features a lot of players that are still alive that are, you know, in the Hall of Fames in the Milwaukee area. And that's something that that's a cool thing that we talk about. But sports related, obviously, and baseball and with hunting and fishing, it's a real passion for me on the side, so I really enjoy that kind of stuff.
Well, Ken, we appreciate having your passion here and talking about baseball and other things. That's what we do here. We like to talk about a little bit of everything. Appreciate your time, and we'll be looking forward to talking again here down the road.
Hey, well, thanks a lot, guys, and go Brewers. It's going to be an exciting weekend. They play the Reds this weekend, so let's see if we can't win another series, because that's all this team's been doing, and that's why they're at the win total that they're at. I believe they're 87-54, so getting to that 99-100 with 21 games to go, it's well within reach. So go Brewers, hang in there, and thanks for having me, you guys. Looking forward to potentially doing some more with you in the future.
Ken Kazuba of Kaz's Sports Corner. You can check that out. Just search for it online. We have more Make the Call coming up right after this. Going to talk a little Badgers. We'll have Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer on next right here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Halfway through here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network, getting you a chance to look at all sports from the week with Mike Clemens. Our Sports Week in Review comes up in about 15, 20 minutes from now. Also, a look back on week 3 of the high school football season. I'll give you a rundown of all the games that happened on Thursday and Friday night. But right now, happy to welcome back to the program after a long summer vacation, and now back with us as part of Make the Call. You're going to hear from him pretty regularly as we go throughout the season. That is Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer and BadgerObserver.com. And I can't help but notice, Jake, that in my inbox every day, I've got not one, not two, but sometimes I got three or four articles from you recapping the volleyball match, looking at football positions, getting all the interviews. You have stayed insanely busy this past month, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, what type of summer break you talking about, my friend? Like, it has been nonstop, whether it's been football recruiting, whether it's been trying to watch basketball practice, the two open basketball practices we had. Oh, yeah, an athletic director that was hired in July, and then Big Ten Media Days into the fall camp, and then preseason volleyball into the season. And it is nonstop at Badger Observer. And, of course, as a quick plug, $2 a month, $20 a year right now going on Badger Observer. That's where you can get all the hardworking content from Badger Observer. But I digress. What you guys got for me?
Well, I want to start obviously with what's happening in the weekend, and that's the big game. Without an NFL game, if I can say words today, to look at, we're looking at Badgers versus Notre Dame in the Lambeau Field game coming up this weekend. And I think that, you know, I remember back, you know, a decade when they had LSU in this event. I was hosting on the Badger Radio Network the pregame show leading in, and just how much hype was going into that. Just an SEC team, Lambeau Field, all the things. And then the Badgers end up pulling it off, and it was just an incredible victory. That whole year, it just felt like things were, you know, like anything was possible going into games that year. I know right now that people have certainly taken their shots and their licks with the Badgers with the last couple of years and how they've gone. So I guess I'm curious just to start with this. Everybody's talking about betting lines and the fact that maybe Wisconsin, you know, it's a three touchdown, whatever. I don't do gambling, so it's a pretty big spread in this game. But a lot of people are kind of down on the Badgers going into this. And I keep thinking, you know, there's a lot of weird things that happen in week one. I don't know that they're going to be, you know, run off the field or anything, but what is your take as we go into this? What are some important things we should watch with the Badgers as they take on Notre Dame in this opener?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, and I'm taking a look right now too. I think, you know, I'll just look at what FanDuel right now just to see what the odds are right now. And I'm looking at it. Yeah, it's like 20.5 point, you know, they're almost three touchdown favorites, which that's why I've barely paid attention to it. Yeah, Notre Dame's going to be favored in this, it, without a doubt. But yeah, week one, things can happen, and everyone's talking about Notre Dame, and yeah, they got a chip on their shoulder because they were left out of the college football playoff, and they decided they elected not to go to a bowl game, right? I'll be honest, yeah, this is going to be the toughest defense Wisconsin's going to have to face, and Leonard Moore is going to be a great NFL player, and CJ Carr could be that Heisman finalist, but you know, yeah, I think Wisconsin also has improved. Now, how much can they stay in this game, and can they pull off an upset? You talk about that game 10 years ago at LSU, yeah, LSU was top five ranked, but it was also that later that year. I mean, that was the end of the Les Miles era at LSU, right? So you have that. And I think that's going to be, I mean, and you have Notre Dame, I think, ascending. So it's kind of going in like different ways in passing. But for Wisconsin, they have to play good defense. You know, I mean, I think this defense is going to be really good. I think they could take it to an elite level. I think back to what we used to see during like the Jim Leonard era, in my eyes, I think they have that potential. Just the front solid. They have three deep, a potential interior defensive lineman. They have potentially a three deep on the outside edge. And they, you know, you have Cooper Catalano and Mason Posa then in the middle. And I think a revamped secondary, I think, could surprise some people. So you have to play tough against the run, make CJ Carr uncomfortable. They don't have to get turnovers. That's just, I mean, that's a great equalizer, right? In these type of games, can you pressure the quarterback into making some bad throws? Can you force some fumbles? Wisconsin only had five interceptions last year. Can't happen again. Offensively, they have to do something. And the defensive front for Notre Dame is going to be really good. Their secondary is really good. This is going to be the toughest test, arguably, of the year. But we also saw the run game get some things going against the first team defense during fall camp. I don't know if it's going to show up against Notre Dame, but I think there's opportunity. And the offense just has to do something. You can't have what happened to the defense last year, where three and outs and inefficiencies and short fields, sudden change situations that you're throwing the defense into. But, you know, it goes back to every great upset, right? It is, you're looking at, for Wisconsin, just try to force some turnovers, win the turnover battle, field position on special teams, and then, you know, and then also I think the other part too is just, honestly, just you have to do enough on offense to have a shot.
And I mean, whenever we talk about week one, you do kind of think of shocking upsets. And Jimmy, like you talked about with LSU, let's not forget that we just saw UMass win a game against a power conference opponent the other night, guys. Come on. That's huge. I've never seen
Rutgers
that.
Rutgers is borderline acceptable. Tell Rutgers power conference.
Come on.
They had a post. I just say it like Rutgers is like barely.
But statistically, yes.
Technically, you're correct.
Jake, as we look at the Badgers and trying to take a shot at an upside here against Notre Dame, what do the Badgers have going for them? Is there anywhere that you see that there could be just a little bit of an edge, or maybe it's a close enough of a difference that the Badgers may just not get their teeth kicked in and still hang around in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the defense. I really feel, you know, people have pointed it out too, like the defense was okay last year. They were a top five in rushing, in the rush defense. Now, Notre Dame does not have Jeremiah Love or Jadarian Price, who were first-round draft picks, and you saw just how potent they were. They do have CJ Carr, who I think is going to be he is a special quarterback. I think he could take it to another level this year too. But I think it's one of the things where this defense, and yeah, there are injuries on Wisconsin's offensive line, but you know, Sebastian Cheeks was in the backfield early and often during fall camp. He was my fall camp MVP if I ever had one, because he would just extremely fast, elusive. Matt Mitchell, the outside linebackers coach, talked about him going to the sack summit this summer, and you saw things pay off. And he had a lot of pressures last year. He just didn't get home on him. He didn't finish. So I think that's going to be something where I think the defensive front could line up really well. I think it could give Notre Dame some troubles. And I think not just the pressure off the edge from Cheeks or a Nick Clayton, but Posa and Catalano, you know, blitzing up the middle and A-gap type work. Or they could, we'll see just who else they send. But I also think that D-line is extremely deep. And the one thing that's great about that is that you're going against the offensive line. So that starting five is usually out there the entire time. You can rotate that defensive line and get fresher bodies in, and that can make a huge impact. And the depth that they have right now, I think, is big. So I think that's going to be a key. If they can hold and then see what happens in special teams and the offense, I'm not predicting an upset, but I'm saying it can be closer than what people think.
And we talked a little bit about that O-line. Behind that O-line, you're going to have yet another new quarterback for the Badgers. And it seems like pretty much every year in the Luke Fickell era, we've had a little, at least a fair amount of excitement about whatever quarterback there is that's going to be taking snaps. The Badgers, unfortunately, health-wise, haven't really been able to get any of those to work out yet. But Colton Joseph is taking his turn this year at trying to lead a Badger offense. What have you seen from him in camp? What do you think he could do for the Badgers this year?
Yeah, I think this is something with Colton that the immediate impact, and people have asked me about it before, but I think the immediate impact's with his legs. And yeah, that means the run game. He ran for over 1,000 yards last year at Old Dominion, Sun Belt Offensive Player of the Year. Yeah, he threw 21 touchdown passes, but you saw against Indiana that season opener, he had 270-yard-plus touchdown runs against who eventually became the national champions. And so during fall camp, I think you saw that on display. And with the run game, there were explosive plays. Part of that was because of the holes the offensive line was opening up. But, you know, Jeff Grimes talked to us at the end of fall camp. He also mentioned, hey, defenses have to take, into consideration Colton Joseph and the other quarterbacks. And there are runs during fall camp where you wonder, like, if that play's not blown dead, is he going all the way? And I think so. So I think with what Wisconsin can do with Joseph, one, the design quarterback runs, two, the read options and making defenders guess. Now, I know Notre Dame's extremely athletic there, so that may be a moot point, but I think those are big things. But also in the passing game and the secondary, again, Leonard Moore, great cornerback, going to be very difficult, but Joseph has the ability to extend plays with his feet in the passing game. I think that's going to be the other part of it. Can Joseph, scramble, one, when the initial play is ball bottle up, but or two, just create enough of his legs that he can get a pass off, that there's enough separation for a receiving target to make a play downfield. So but I think first and foremost it's going to go back to the run game, and he has 4.5 second 40 yard dash speed according to Brady Collins, who's the Wisconsin director of football strength and conditioning. So I think that's where you're going to see the first immediate impact for Joseph on the Wisconsin offense.
Jay Kokorowski of Badger Observer and BadgerObserver.com, and we'll give you a chance to talk about what you've got in terms of insider access here in just a moment. But before we wrap this segment, I have to ask about Badgers volleyball. And I know people are going to look at the 3-3 record and like, wow, they've been kind of up and down. But I would point this out. They're facing like every single team, and not even a joke, every single team in the top 10 to 12 in the nation. They've played an incredibly difficult schedule, and they still have a very, very tough road to go, especially in the Big Ten, including a matchup with number one Nebraska later on. They're off until next Friday, but what have we learned about this year's team in this early going against some of the top teams in the entire nation?
I mean, it's a team that's got some depth, that has some moxie to it, I think, is the big first couple of points, especially on the outside, where we didn't see Grace Egan, a veteran upperclassman outside hitter. She had a great performance against Florida, and then less than 24 hours later, she was out and unavailable due to an undisclosed injury, according to Wisconsin coach Kelly Sheffield. So that, but then you see Madison Quest step up in that place. You have a bunch of young freshmen that Kelly Sheffield and Wisconsin signed a fantastic, one of the best, if not the best, 2026 scholarship recruiting class. And so let's go back to last night. Hallie Thompson, who didn't practice, she didn't play against Florida, plays against Auburn and, has 11 kills and 11 digs. And she brings energy on and off the court, along with her on-court prowess. She's got a fast swing. She can athletic enough, lateral enough, where she can, does a great job passing there. And she's only going to improve, going as a freshman to now. But I think then, Audrey Flanagan, they're dependent upon more freshmen, not just Thompson, but Audrey Flanagan's could be along with Thompson, the next big things for Wisconsin in terms of breakout players. You have Charlie Furbringer, the setter, who's all American. She is the leader of the team. You see that she can dish it out to different people. I think the other part too, like in the middle, like Jayla August is not the transfer middle blocker, all American, has missed the last four matches. Well, you have freshman Lenny Tarnow, the best middle blocker in the 2026 class, according to Prep Dig. She's looking the part early. She's still growing in terms of development, but she has a hard swing and she blocks well up front. You have Natalie Wardlow had a great game against Auburn. You know, so it's a team that right now it has not been at full strength, and you want Wisconsin to, you know, like get healthy, but you're seeing players and they're mixing and matching right now, and they're still 3-3, and they're doing it again, like you mentioned, Jimmy, against some of the best in the nation. You go up against Pitt, Louisville, Kentucky. Those are all top five teams, and Wisconsin was a 1-3 record, and they moved up a spot in the AVC rankings last week from 6 to 5. You know, and then they beat Florida at home, which was ranked 17th, and I think Florida, if I'm not mistaken, beat number 11 Minnesota a day prior. So, and then next week they're going to Texas A&M, the defending national champions, and then they face Texas. So those are top 15 programs in their own right. But this is, you know, it's baptism by fire for a lot of these new players. 9 new freshmen. That includes Destley's champion, the, you know, 2027 recruit who reclassified, could be an international star basically for Puerto Rico. It's a lot going on with volleyball. They're still finding their way. But this team, I mean, I thought this from the start. It's going to be a team that they can get all the pieces together. They're going to be a team to reckon with like they were last year.
Well, and all these early experiences too, when you're facing, like you said, next week, they get Texas A&M, which is number 8, and Texas is number 2 right now in the nation. So it's not like they have any cupcakes coming up here in the near term. But Jake, we are short on time. Just one last chance here real quick, though. I was just telling people at the start of the segment about getting, you know, a bunch of emails from BadgerObserver.com. Tell us about what you got going on there and how people can get a little bit of insider access to what's happening at UW.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I'll have some more football preview stuff up leading up to the game Sunday. I will be up at Lambeau Field, BadgerObserver.com. You subscribe. This should be the 1-year special. Should apply to everybody. It's our 1-year anniversary because it's already been, well, now 13 months, really, where $20 a year, $2 a month, football, volleyball, recruiting, men's basketball. That's what we do here at Badger Observer, and give us a shot. And like I said, here's the thing, we're like 30 away from 1,000 total subscribers. Become a free subscriber. I do give some free content out there, like in post game interviews, a couple other things. But hey, the cool thing about that too, you also get 5 paywalled articles per month. So hey, that's a fresh way to give us a try.
Jake Okorowski again, BadgerObserver.com is where you can go to get access to the Badgers. Appreciate your time and insights, man. And we'll be talking to you again here real soon.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon. Y'all have a great weekend.
Jake Okorowski again right there. And when we return, we're going to take a look at the Sports Weekend Review with Mike Clemens and get a look back on week 3 of the high school football season. This is Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back. It's time now to take a look at high school football scores from week 3. On our Civic Media stations, it was Three Lakes Phelps defeating Shawamigan against 64-0 on WPFP. Staying in Park Falls, Hurley defeated Phillips 22-6 on WCQM. WRCO's broadcast in southwestern Wisconsin saw Fenimore defeat River Valley 42-7. It was Ripon over Adams Friendship 44-6 on WRPN. On WFHR, it was Stevens Point defeating Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln 42-12. And on WRPQ, it was Baraboo 40, Toma 34. Defending state champions in action, McDonald lost to Spring Valley 44-42. They're 1-2 on the year. Kenosha St. Joseph defeated Living Word Lutheran 56-14. Darlington over Mineral Point 27-6. Mayville beat Winnebago Lutheran 34-19. Winneconne all over Shawano 34-7. Grafton shut out West Bend East 49-0. West De Pere defeated De Pere 35-12. And in a matchup of number 1 versus number 1, Arrowhead took down Catholic Memorial 34-14. Top 10 teams in action, according to Bound Wisconsin. Amherst shut out Colby 35-0. Another shutout, Muskego over Brookfield Central 53-0. Glenwood City blanked Boyceville 7-0. New Glarus defeated Cuba City 26-7. Hamilton over Oconomowoc 35-27. Iola Scandinavia took down North Crawford 14-6. It was Gilman over Owen Withy 36-6. Northwestern defeating St. Croix Falls 32-14, and West Salem upended Aquinas 35-6. It's time now for a Sports Week in Review with Mike Clemens. You've been listening to Make the Call on the Civic Media Radio Network.
the Brewers in the Queen City. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with the Wisconsin Sports Week in Review. Baseball, the Brewers in Cincinnati this weekend against the Reds, wrapping up a road trip. On Friday night, the Brewers got past the Reds 10-7, despite a lackluster performance by Shane Drouin and a late arrival on the team plane from Chicago. Manager Pat Murphy.
You know, it's a game that you get in at 2 in the morning. You don't take any pregame, per se. It's an emotional series off the Cubs, and the Reds had just beaten the Cubs 2 out of 3. They're a very talented team. We know that. Very capable. They know us well. Play good in this yard. It's a very offensive yard tonight. Yeah, we just kept pecking away. The kid Rob Sal of a homer, great catch. They're playing with looseness and freedom, and you know, it's a tough game to win. Drone didn't have good stuff tonight. He didn't. He couldn't execute pitches, but, you know, he did go out and throw up a 0 in the fourth. Patrick gave us 2. Ashby, Senza, and McGill. That's a lot of – it's 5 innings of relief again. We can't keep doing that, but be it as it may, I'm proud of the guys for pecking away.
Against the Cubs last week, the Brewers split the 4-game series 2 games apiece. On Wednesday, the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, gave up 5 runs in just 4 innings. His fastball, 102 miles per hour, but he couldn't keep it over the plate in the strike zone.
You start second-guessing everything. You know, start trying to make pitches too big and, you know, start trying to make things too spot-on. So, you know, start leaking places and, you know, you got to calm yourself down and figure out a way to get through it.
It was hot and humid down on the field at Wrigley with the dew point in the mid-70s.
Obviously, it felt soggy the whole time, you know. Some weather played a factor in that, so lost grip, but, you know, had to make it work.
Cubs manager Craig Counsell says he could see that his pitcher Clay Holmes and the Brewers' Chad Patrick having trouble with their grip on that baseball.
It was a tough night to pitch. I think you saw it was abnormally humid out there, and I think you saw like Patrick have a hard time with the grip, and Clay even expressed like it was hard getting a grip on the baseball at times, and you saw all pitchers like sweating really bad. So Clay kept it together, and he pitched a really, really nice game.
So the Miz says in those kinds of humid conditions, it's hard for him to keep steady on the mound as he plants his front foot at 6'7" in height. The Brewers went on to win that night, though, 9-5 in Chicago, thanks to some clutch hits in key moments despite the weather conditions.
I mean, everyone's hot, everyone's sweaty, no one wants to be out there. You know, it's not a fun game to play in, but that's what we could do. You know, we have to figure out a way to win, and, you know, we're a team. You got to figure out a way to, you know, have everyone win.
Miz, this seems like something that has come up now, your last couple road starts. Are you able to do on these road starts?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot we can do. You know, there's stuff that I can't tell you guys, and I really don't want to. But our guys over here are trying their best and trying to make everything come out the best, back end better.
Jacob, can you talk about your teammates picking you up tonight?
Yeah, I mean, that's all I want to talk about, really. I don't care about my pitching. That was electric. That was awesome. You know, to have the guys come up behind me, just put up run after run after run was awesome. It's all I can ever ask for. And big game like this, it really, you know, it helps out.
Brewers pitcher Dustin May is going to need to turn things around quickly here after giving up too many runs or getting hit by a comeback hit, ending in back-to-back losses.
It sucks to be sucking right now, but glad to get him out of the way now to get on a roll later.
Women's college volleyball is back. The Badgers able to cruise past Auburn this past week in straight sets at 3-3. Wisconsin's off to a slow start this season. Head coach Kelly Sheffield says they've been dealing with some injuries here at the start.
It's not fun missing some people. You like to be at full strength, but that just doesn't happen. And so I don't know how football coaches do it. I mean, right? I mean, every time that you go out and take the field, it's you know, it's like the Revolutionary War or something like that. You know, it's people down, and you got to get the next people up. We've had a few, and we've had to deal with it. But on the other side of that is opportunity.
College football. It's the Wisconsin Badgers and the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame on Sunday Night Football on NBC from Lambeau Field in Green Bay. Head coach Luke Fickell on the challenge of being a 20-point underdog to Notre Dame and not sure exactly who his starters are on the offensive line.
We know this is a huge game in game one, and kicking off the way we're kicking off in Lambeau against Notre Dame, but we also understand there's a journey here. You know, there's a part of this thing that we got to make sure that as we get closer towards game time, we do the things that are going to be best for us for this entire journey. And so there aren't decisions made completely on a lot of guys just yet. And we'll have to figure that thing out as we get closer to game.
With the Wisconsin Sports Week in Review, I'm Mike Clemens.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.